Welcome to Digital Marketing That Puts People First, brought to you by The Online Co., where we believe the best way to help businesses grow is to do exactly that, put people first. I'm James Palmwell, and in this episode, we have Audrey Baruki from Calix Limited. Calix was formed in 2005 in Bacchus Marsh, Victoria, and over the years, it's grown and expanded internationally through Asia, Europe, and North America. In 2018, they listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. However, the most important thing that happened was in 2012 when Audrey joined and has worked in an executive role as the General Marketing Manager. Audrey's expertise in marketing and communication has been critical to Calix's success in developing new processes and materials to solve global challenges. She's been responsible for developing Calix's brand, customer relationship management, public relations and events, and has worked closely with the business development and sales teams to support the implementation of sales and marketing plans for Calix's business units. Audrey, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, James, and welcome to everyone listening today.
Lovely to have you here. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. What got you into marketing in the first place?
Oh, that's a very good question, James. I studied marketing as part of my master's in business administration and management back in France, but I majored in corporate finance, so absolutely nothing to do with marketing.
Yeah.
I landed, the first couple of jobs in my career were in procurement and international logistics. So I was working out of China for a company based out of Paris and helping them settle down in Asia and also looking after their production and procurement, logistics, etc. Anyway, I spent a few years there, and then I ended up coming to Australia. And as I arrived in Australia, I was sort of open to a lot of different opportunities for work. I very quickly got in touch with a civil engineering company, a very large civil engineering company, and they were looking for someone to help them commercialize a specialized type of concrete.
Okay.
And I sort of ticked off a lot of their boxes. But the role was really around marketing. So it was a fair amount of market research. Obviously a lot of the communications aspect of the commercialization journey. So I joined. It was a really exciting first journey here in Australia. I loved the job and I fell in love with marketing. So I never left.
What is it about marketing that you love?
I think it creates a bridge between the technical, the science, and the creative aspect of my personality. And so it took me a long time to sort of understand where I bring the most value, but I came to realize it's my ability to actually understand complex matters, complex subjects, and articulate them in a way that everyone could understand. And that is, marketing 101, right? You step into a company or, within an idea or technology, you really understand what it's all about, and then you find a way to articulate that in a way that's going to resonate right with the person in front of you.
Yeah, so you've hit on two very interesting points about marketing, and it's this sort of yin and yang of science and art. And I often try to explain this to people because people either see it as like this branding exercise, we're creating videos and, communicating lovely, fluffy things, or it's this hardcore data, lead gen, return on investment, data measurement thing. And the people tend to see it as both. But that's the thing that attracted me as well. It's the combination of creativity and data science combined. So you do something creative and you see if it works.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of the engineers and scientists that I've been fortunate to work with say, oh, you just make what we do sexy. and I like that. Just think, yeah, okay, and you can do that if you really understand. The first thing is you need to understand what they're actually doing. So, there's a fair amount of, technical, it requires a lot of technical ability and IQ to really understand and dissect what people are doing. And especially, if you're working across different businesses or different business lines or different clients, this ability to actually get into that environment, understand very quickly what people are doing. But, you know, it needs to be really to a level that will allow you to actually articulate it out, you know, back to others. So, it's a bit of a talent. You're not, I think not everyone is a good marketeer. James, I think.
No, that's true.
It requires a certain amount of IQ and a certain amount of EQ as well to be able to read the room, to be able to understand what resonates with whom, adapt that depending on where you are.
Yes.
Yeah,
my experience is that most businesses struggle with marketing. And I think you might have put your finger on what that is. It's a bit of a mystery box of, you know, how do I make this complex thing sound simple? Because if I can't make it simple, the world's not going to understand us. And if they don't understand us, they're not going to buy from us. They're not interested.
Yeah, I reflected often on this, you know, this statement of, oh, you make what we do sexy, look sexy, right? I've always reflected on what that actually meant. And I thought, yes, that's true. That's sort of the idea of marketing. But in order for us to do that, we need a lot of tools. We need a lot of techniques. We need a lot of processes. And a marketer is not someone who just happens to look good and smile at everyone. It's someone that understands those tools. And I think where you see it's a black box, for me, it's, and I've come across this a lot in my career, is this false understanding that marketing is just about making a pretty picture.
Yes.
Whereas there's a lot of complex science and complex processes behind making things look good. It's not just, you know, put a bit of paint here and there and it just works. And that's where I go back to, you know, it's a lot of IQ and it's a lot of EQ.
Right.
You've got to be both creative and smart enough to actually understand and utilize those tools.
Which introduces psychology, like understanding how people are thinking so that you can communicate the science to people in ways that works.
Absolutely. Absolutely, James.
So I remember studying customer behavior at uni and it was all psychology. I loved it. I thought it was fascinating. But I potentially up until that point, it hadn't quite dawned on me that, oh, we're working with people and we need to format. So we got this nice fluffy picture, but you know, the messages had the clarity messages had an awful lot of thought go behind it. You know, those three words that you think, well, you know, it takes 4 seconds to type out, that we may have agonized over that for hours and worked with different variants to come up with something that it just explains the right thing the right way. And that's before we got to any visuals, you know, or any calls to action.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a very clear correlation between psychology, psychoanalysis, and marketing as a function. And as a matter of fact, you'll smile at this, but years ago when I was working for VSL, so this large international civil engineering company, I went to my manager and said, "Oh, I want to do a master's in psychology, in psychoanalysis." And he said to me, "All right, why should I support that? What direct link does it have to your job?" And I said, "Well, I need to understand how people think so that I can I can talk to them better, that I can resonate with them, I can make a bigger impact." And I think he really, you know, he got it straight away. He was a very smart man. He just got it straight away and said, "Oh, of course, you know, if you can have the prettiest website, brochure, whatever, you know, other marketing collateral you're producing, if that doesn't resonate with the person that you have in front of you, you might as well do something else." And that's a science. That's a science, you know, the use of creativity, the use of words, the use of shapes, the use of narratives, you know, being able to use the right thing with the right person starts with understanding that person, starts with understanding how this person perceives the world, how this person thinks, and how this person makes decisions.
So the slogan on the front of our website and what I started the podcast with is digital marketing that puts people first. And I think you've just encapsulated that, because if you don't understand a person, if you're not putting that person first, stop marketing. Like,
yes.
I mean, we make so many mistakes around that. The first mistake that businesses will make is they don't put the customer first, they put themselves first. So they're not communicating to the customer. They're just sort of, here's my idea, I'm going to bang you on the head with that. And then the next one is, well, let's just go features without appealing to any emotion at all. And so we're not, you know, if you're not putting people first, and that, which means you're not understanding their psychology, you probably don't have good marketing.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, James. I have a big theory when it comes to the marketing philosophy, if you like. And that is, you know, as marketers and as business owners and as business people in general, we hear those big acronyms that are B2B and B2C all the time. Right? Yep. And I've always had an issue with that until I came up with this new concept that's H2H, human to human.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
And you know, you're not a business talking to a customer. You're a human, you're a person talking to another person. And even within the B2B, which is very much my space, you're still a human person talking to another human person. And if you lose touch with that and with what that means, you're going to struggle a lot with your sales processes and your conversions.
Oh, exactly. So whether the end user is a business person or a consumer, they both have needs. They both have pain points. They both have barriers. And they're just different barriers. It's still just a person.
Yeah, and they have values and they have a sense of purpose that can be different from one person to the next. They have emotions. You know, when you walk into a room, everyone perceives you in a very different way. Everyone reacts to you in a very different way. When you give a sales pitch or a presentation, same, you will resonate with different people at different times. And that's not necessarily because of the content that you're delivering or the sales pitch you're delivering. It's because certain people will resonate with you at certain, you know, certain moments because of different emotions, because of the traits, their personality traits. And others will just, you know, fall asleep because for them, whatever you're saying, whatever you're delivering and how you're delivering it just doesn't resonate. So again, as I said, you know, the mistake here is to just go, oh, these are talented marketers or talented salespeople, and these guys are just not good at it. No. They are, you know, there is science behind marketing. There are techniques. Yeah. It is not just a fluffy field. It's not, you know, oh, people just make things look pretty. Not at all. It's a pretty complex field, I have found.
Now, you used the word before, tools. Right. So when in marketing, we talk about tools, right? So there's the whole tech side of marketing. So if you're doing SEO, there's Ahrefs and SEMrush and those. But then there's also intellectual tools, like the marketing funnel is probably the most commonly known one. And that's what you're talking about. There's marketing techniques or like tools, you know, you pull out a hammer or you pull out a screwdriver because there's different tools to use to unlock certain circumstances and ways of communicating. What are some of the techniques that you use or tools?
So the first statement I'll make, and I think it's important, it's an important statement for any good, you know, marketeer, no matter where you sit. And that, things are very simple until you make them complicated. So in anyone who works in the marketing field, especially in those, you know, larger organizations, you might feel completely overwhelmed with the amount of automations, the number of tools available. And I mean, the internet and data marketing has just made it even more complicated than it was.
Yeah. Okay. It's very confusing.
It's very confusing. Yeah. It can be really overwhelming. So what I say to my team, and, you know, if my team members are listening to this, they'll have a smile, is go back to, you know, simple, right? But when you're talking about the marketing funnel, you know, as we see, it's reasonably simple if you go back to what it used to be, right? It's okay, it's you, H to H. Okay, who are those people? You know who you are, but you need to start thinking about the people that are going to go and sell, right? So you need to do the work on your sales teams. Marketing and sales have got to work together hand in hand. They can't be dislocated. And then you've got to do the work on who's the other H here? Who is your customer? Who's your prospect? What do they look like? What do they think? What rocks their boat and what doesn't? So you've got to really take it down to that simple. And then once you've done that work, which sometimes is jumped, you know, people are just, designing this crazy, oh my goodness, James, automated workflows. And I'm like,
I've seen them.
What are we trying to do here? And people are almost unable to explain the basic, you know, okay, this is my product and this is what I'm trying to achieve, because they have lost themselves in the complexities of things, right? So go back to the basic. Okay, what are you going to try to do? And then add the layers of complexity as you progress.
Yes.
And I have created, and again, something that my team members will laugh at, I have created a Bible of workflows in my career, in my last job. The amount of workflows we've created is actually mind-blowing. We've got a lot of different things for a lot of different platforms. It's all interconnected, etc. But the reason why we've got there is because we started with the simple workflows, simple process, and then we grew from there. The other thing I'll say about, building good marketing funnels is continue to review. Whatever you've set today is not necessarily good tomorrow. So you need to continue to review what you're doing, to measure your return on investment, continue to measure what works and what doesn't, so that you can go back to your workflows. And instead of adding layers and layers and layers, make sure that, the foundations of your processes, your foundations of your tools are still working, are still accurate, are still delivering for you. And it's a big job. It's a big job to do that, because as I said, on year one, it's very simple. It's like, okay, these are my leads. These are the ones that I want to convert. This is how I'm going to do it, etc. But then as you create these levels of automations, these processes and these tools, it just starts becoming this huge, workflow and these huge amount of processes. But you need to go back to the basics, right? You need to continue to be able, you should be able to explain something really complicated and really automated in 3 seconds. And if you can't, then, okay, you need to stop, you need to pause, and you need to go back to slide number one.
Yeah, well, you've picked up on a few ideas there. So this is the minimum viable product idea. Rather than create a complex marketing funnel, start with one email, test it, see how it works, and then add a second one. Instead of saying, all right, we need four automated emails, and they need to split off at 1, 2, 3, and 4 based on how people interact with it. Cause then we're going to put them and we're going to lead score them and put them in this bucket, and they're going to go off on this other one. And, then we can send them this. And when that finishes, we'll it's like, don't start there.
Yes, exactly. Don't start there. That's the best statement. It's just don't start.
Cause the minimum viable product concept says that you need to take a step and then test it with the market. Because what they proved, it's in the Lean Startup by Eric Ries, is that you take the first step, but if you don't take it to market, you then take the second step based on a bunch of assumptions. And you can find yourself 20 steps down the track, and the assumptions you made at step two were wrong. And you're just like, you're trying to drive from Sydney to Melbourne, you found yourself in Broken Hill. You're just in the wrong place completely. This doesn't work, and you don't know why. You've got to rewind it. So, but then you talked about getting ideas across in 3 seconds. And this is so crucial in a digital world where you're flicking through TikTok or you're flicking through search results and you're scanning websites very quickly to decide whether you're going to stay there, whether you're in the right spot, whether this is interesting or not. And I think this probably links back to what you were saying at the start around, I need to take all of this complexity, particularly engineers, right? They love details. They got all this knowledge in their head and they spit it out and you sit there kind of trying to drink from a fire hose, trying to figure out what they're saying and then making it simple.
Yes, yes, there is a, you know, the complexity. What it is, you know, and this goes back to the idea of having a marketing funnel. The first thing you need to do is to catch their attention. And that you'll do by multiplying the touch points, you know, things that, as I said, not necessarily very detailed, but just I need to grab your attention. Once I have your attention, don't be fooled. Sit down and take the time. Talk to that person. Mm. You know, a prospect, a converted lead is your next customer and you should treat it that way. You should take the time. You should detail what you're talking about. You should adapt your narrative to the person that you've got in front of you. You need to invest the time. And I think what I see, you know, within the marketing function is a lot of people spend a lot of time in that trying to grab attention. And yes, it's very important. But remember what you're trying to achieve here. You're just trying to say, hey, that's it. That's it. So find a creative way to do that. But then once you have the attention of someone, oh my goodness, you do need to invest your time and money right there because the person is giving you their time, their very, very, very precious time. So this is where, you know, the bulk of your marketing energy budget needs to go in. And as I said, you know, start with any prospect should be a customer, right? And you should treat it that way. You should really think, you know, this is my next customer. And, you know, how much time do I want to dedicate and give to this customer in front of me? Do not treat, someone that's given you their attention as you would treat, you know, your large universe of leads. It's completely different. And you need to be able to differentiate the amount of time and energy you spend in, you know, those two different, idea of leads, right? A lead that hasn't given you their attention is just a lead, right? They're not a future customer. They haven't, you know, you haven't grabbed their attention yet. But a lead that's actually gone, oh, that's interesting. You need to stop, you need to pause, and you need to really start thinking about how you're going to be able to convert that lead into being your next customer. It's a talent, right? It doesn't.
Yeah, it's tricky. So let's talk about Calyx. If any of our listeners, and I encourage you to do so, jump on Calyx website. They're going to see the byline Mars is for quitters. They're then going to see a lot. It starts to get complex because what you do is not, you're not selling Mars bars, right? It's not a simple service. It is a B2B and it's quite a complicated thing that you're selling. So how did you go about gaining that interest and then doing that next piece of education so that they can turn into a properly qualified lead?
Yes, it's an excellent question and a really good example to what I'm trying to convey here. So Mars for Quitters is the hey. It's the hey, James, can you listen to me for a second? And it worked amazingly well. It worked amazingly well. I can give you, you know, a million examples of sitting at a conference and having this big, bold statement ahead of our booth and people just walking up saying, I've got no idea who you are, what you do, but I want to hear it.
Whose idea was it, Audrey?
So we, as we did the rebranding a few years ago, we ran quite a few workshops internally, both with the management team and the employees. And one of our engineers actually came up with this. You know, he just threw it out in the room.
Oh, nice.
And we're like, yes.
A creative engineer.
Oh, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. and that's the other thing about marketing is, you know, there's a science behind it. And, you know, that you need to have good marketing people on board, whether you outsource that or insource that, but you need to have really good, clever marketers on board that have got the qualifications and the skill set. But, you know, going back to this idea of H2H, right? Who are you as a company? And that's not the marketing manager or the marketing team is not the company. The company is, you know, a collective group of people. And so continuously think and reflect on who you are as a company. Because effectively when I'm saying, you know, you are a human to a human, you need to really think about who this human is that's going out to market. Who is this person? What are their personality traits? What are their values? What do they believe in? What's their purpose? And Mars for Quitters, it was just a, yes, this is who we are. A little bit bold, a little bit, you know, a little bit out there, you know, and very innovative, very creative. And I thought, that's bang on. That's the statement that we need. And it worked.
Okay, so the next stage, yeah.
Yeah, the second stage was, okay, so now we've got everyone's attention. And, you know, very quickly you realize that people are like, well, what do you do? Just give me the details. Explain to me. And that's where sort of dissecting the technology, dissecting the solutions was actually quite crucial. And we spent a huge amount of time through different media, different channels to actually dissect the technology in a way that different stakeholders could understand. So if you are a process engineer and I'm talking to you about calcination technologies, you know, I'm going to be able to detail a few things in a certain way, right?
Yes.
But if you're an investor or a new potential employee, you might not resonate with what I'm going to talk about, okay? So I needed to find a way to have, you know, the technology explained to not only a broad range of stakeholders, but a lot of different industries as well, because, you know, the technology was actually able to service and help quite a few hard to abate industries to decarbonize. And so how do you talk industry language that actually resonate with this group and then this group? And, you know, so that was, as I said, once you've got the attention, once the person that you want to talk to, you know, is sitting down listening, you've done your job. Don't worry about getting more attention. Just focus on this next bit, which is crucial, which is how are you going to be able to convert them? And I think that's the bit that's the hardest. And that's where I see a very good marketeer with, you know, excellent IQ, excellent EQ will do a good job, because they'll be able to actually understand what you do, but most importantly, translate that in a language that their particular stakeholder that they've now got the attention of is going to understand and is going to resonate with. And now that's a science. That's the hard bit. That's not given to everyone.
So you just outlined you actually had two customers. And this brings up the IPO. One customer is the engineers. The other customer is the investors. Tell me about, because I think we started working with you about a year before the IPO. I think we started in 2017, if I remember correctly. I remember visiting you there at the Pymble office. And it was then the big focus. In fact, the big focus since you started in 2012 was to get listed on the stock exchange, wasn't it? So tell me about marketing to investors and engineers as such different customers.
Yes and no, James, yes and no. So someone who invests in a technology has, you know, somewhat resonated with what that technology does to start with, right?
Okay.
You're not going to go and invest in things that, you, first of all, you absolutely don't understand, or second of all, you've got no connection to or with. So, you know, there is an existing link there when you're talking to an investor. The difference is the skill set, right? So you've got, again, and I have, you know, I've come to realize that within engineering, people tend to be really specialized. And so they tend to really understand what they do very, very well. But that doesn't mean they understand what their, you know, fellow engineer sitting on their right side here, you know, does. So, you know, there is value in trying to, I won't say simplify, but I'll say in detailing and explaining and, you know, building case studies and just trying to put, you know, sort of concepts, you know, technological concepts into real, you know, life examples so that people can actually understand what you're doing and why. The second aspect of that sort of, you know, how do you think about narratives to different stakeholders, so investors and engineers, goes back to purpose. What are you trying to achieve? If the person that's investing in your technology doesn't quite understand the technology itself, they at least need to buy in to what you're trying to achieve, what you're trying to get out of this technology, the purpose. And last but not least, the values. Again, H2H, an investor is a human being, and they do not invest just in a project or a technology. They invest in you. They invest in their belief or sentiment that you have what it takes to take the company to the next level. So values are absolutely crucial. So when I say, you know, talk about, well, how do you try to resonate? Yes, of course, you try to explain what the technology does, and you're trying to do it in a way that has the broad, you know, picture. But importantly, you need to really articulate what it is that you're trying to do. We see a lot of technologies out there, and, you know, and sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds really interesting, but what is it that you're trying to do? Like, what's the big picture here? And, you know, I'll give you this example of, you know, solving global challenges, which is part of the branding statement for Calyx. As a GM of marketing, I kind of went, okay, well, that's great. What does that mean? What's a global challenge? And how do you solve them? And I've often, you know, had very fascinating discussions with our line of business managers of saying, okay, you explain to me how you're going to solve this global challenge. How does it look like? And like I said, you know, it's really just continuing to understand what it is that you're doing and having the ability to go, all right, okay, now I get it. I can actually take that and package it in a way that's going to resonate with an investor or with another engineer or with a potential partner, etc.
Yeah, awesome. So can you unpack a little bit about your digital strategy? You know, what you did, how you developed that?
Yeah, so the digital strategy was, I mean, it really started with a website. So back in 2012, I think one of the first thing I did was to relaunch a website because we had a very, very simple web platform when I started. Relaunched that. I very much equal with, you know, content is king when it comes to digital marketing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's two aspects. I mean, there's, you know, this ongoing debate about, okay, should you favor quality content or the quantity of content? Well, I'd say both. I'd say both, but again, it's back to your understanding of marketing techniques and tools. Sometimes it's about quantity and sometimes it's about quality and sometimes they have to merge. But it just really, it's back to what are you trying to achieve? Who are you talking to? Are you in that phase of, hey, I need your attention, so I need to be short, sharp, and clear? Or am I at that stage of the funnel where I need to be detailed, really high quality, you know, lots and lots of case studies, lots and lots of graphs and lots of details. So I think the first thing we did was to build a really comprehensive website. And I think from memory, I've built four now for the organization. Yeah. So quite a few, five, one for the US.
Four over 10 years. So you're changing every year and a half. It sounds.
No, I'm saying two was for Calyx. And there was two for Lilac and one for IR. So, quite a few. And that's another aspect of the digital marketing strategy is, you know, as you grow and you're starting to differentiate what you're doing, the story was getting really complicated for people to understand. Mm. And, you know, I thought, well, that comes from the fact that we're doing so many different things for so many different industries. And the diversity of, you know, my leads, my prospects, my customers has become so big that I need to start, I need to start being able to simplify again, right? And so what we did was we started to dislocate, you know, the website. And so from the big sort of corporate Calyx website, we started to have dedicated websites for some of the business lines of some of the companies that we acquired. And obviously Lilac and IA were part of that journey. And then that led me to think, okay, so because of this, I need different strategies digitally to market, you know, first of all, the big corporate group, and then second of all, the smaller entities, because they all have a different, again, it's back to what are you trying to achieve here? The company that we acquired in the US had a product that they needed to sell to the market. So it was a very simple marketing funnel, you know, very simple idea or goal to achieve. So that was one digital strategy, very simple, have a website, social media to sort of reach out and, you know, grab that attention. Lots and lots of detailed content, so lots of case studies, lots of technical articles. We did technical videos, podcasts, and again, just, you know, and you guys have helped us tremendously in trying to identify potential leads. So again, you know, who are the customers? Who do we want to grab the attention of? And making sure that we've got enough content to go through that funnel with them. For Calyx, it was a bit different because the vision or the goal, the KPIs of the marketing journey was to be able to grow. So continue to grab the attention of the investors, potential partners, customers for some of the business lines that we have. So it was more of a brand awareness strategy. There, you know, it's really just about making sure that you're just there, you know, you're growing your share of voice. And there's a lot of different things we've done over time. Obviously, SEO was a big part of the marketing journey and the marketing plan, always has been, just making sure that the people that you want to be in front of find you very easily and very efficiently. And like I said, this is just a matter of grabbing the attention. But make sure that you have built strong foundations before you actually go out and try to grab the attention of people. Because what usually happens is once you've got the attention of someone, they'll go, okay, tell me more. And if you've got nothing to say, if you haven't prepared those foundations, well, you know, you're going to lose them. And it's going to be really difficult to grab their attention again. So again, back to this idea of content is key. So make sure you've got really strong foundations. You've got a really good story to tell. You've got case studies to back it up. And then go out with SEO, go out with social media. And don't waste time. Make sure that you're filtering and you're only spending time on the people that you really want to grab the attention of. Don't go too broad because we just don't have the time to go too broad.
Yeah, time or budget. It doesn't make sense to.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So yes, we did a little bit of SEM as well. That worked quite well for sort of the sales part of the business. So the company in the US, that's always worked really well for them. Again, grabbing the attention. And I'll probably finish, you know, the whole digital marketing piece with this. Again, sales and marketing need to work hand in hand. Your salespeople need to know what you are doing to grab the attention, to get them some leads and some people to talk to. They need to understand that journey. They need to understand that funnel because they're going to be the one going and meeting them. They're going to be your H in the H2H conversation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they need to really, you know, they need to work with you because their feedback is essentially the best analysis of who your customer is, right? If a salesperson come to me and say, this guy is the best customer because he's happy, it was really easy to convert him, he doesn't take too much of my time, he's a really friendly guy, he's, you know, given me a lot of other contacts that I can go and talk to. I mean, this is, you know, this is gold for a marketer. So and this is something that, you know, we would all resonate with. Sales and marketing seems to be almost working head to head, right? Often they really struggle see how they actually very complementary to each other. But that's absolutely key. And you're going to waste a lot of budget, a lot of time and a lot of energy if your sales and marketing are just working against each other.
Right. Yes, but sometimes they do, don't they, unfortunately.
Mm. And I think, again, James, I think it's back to this idea that marketing is misunderstood. And it's like, marketing is like sales. And often you see those titles, it's sales and marketing, GM of sales and marketing.
Yes.
No. Sales is sales, marketing is marketing.
They're separate functions. Yeah, they are separate functions. It's important to acknowledge that. And yes, marketing is the mystery box. What is it? people struggle. Can I ask you one last question? If you were to go back in time 10 years ago when you started with Calyx, if you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would that be?
I think I'd probably say, you know, prone compassion, James, compassion. Take the time, break down the barriers, you know, within yourself, sit down with people, have chats, just, you know, be compassionate with people around you, your customers, your leads, yourself, your team, you know, just absolutely everyone. And once you do that, once you can really just practice this level of compassion, it just breaks down for me. It just breaks down all the barrier. I'm able to have a lot more meaningful conversations with the team, with the salespeople, with the customers. You know, we put a lot of barriers and a lot of processes and a lot of cold, you know, walls around ourselves, especially in the professional world. And I think, you know, I think that's a very big barrier to what we can achieve. So I'd probably, if I was, you know, it took me a long time to actually understand that, you know, compassion was probably the key to a lot of things. But yeah, if I was 10 years ago, I would just say, Audrey, just, you know, sit there for a whole week and think about what compassion actually means in your day-to-day work, in your role, in your KPIs. And I think I would have got to the same place, but probably a lot quicker. You know, I would have, maybe, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't, maybe I would have gone, what are you talking about, compassion? What does that mean?
Maybe you have to learn in the school of hard knocks to actually understand why that's important.
Yes.
But I think it's wonderful. I mean, we talk about putting people first. I mean, it's kind of where we started. Being compassionate to people means you're putting them first, doesn't it? Like, and I guess the other smear that marketing gets is we've all seen the adverts around buy now, sale ends now. And it's, you feel like someone is trying to make you do something you don't want to do. And it feels grimy. And that can be associated with marketing. But good marketing doesn't do that at all. Good marketing says, we have a solution to a genuine problem that you have. We're going to help you solve that solution. And if that's you, then come and deal with us and we can resolve it. Whether it's getting a new PowerPoint or solving water problems, you know, across the globe, we're solving problems. And if that's not for you, that's great. Go and be blessed doing whatever else it is you need. But if it is, we can help. And the clearer you do that, the better the marketing is.
I agree. I couldn't, I think, you know, people want to feel like you care. And you as a marketer, you should really think, do I really care? Or do I tell my customer that I care? And there's a big difference there.
There's a big difference. And people smell it, don't they?
Oh,
they smell falseness.
And I mean, we haven't really touched on customer retention, you know, as part of the marketing mix.
Right.
But, you know, once you said, grab your attention, make sure you convert. But then once you've got your customers, it doesn't end there, right? It's how you service them. It's the time that you give them. It's the time that you go there and meet with them to get the feedback. You know, it's all of these things. It's the care. And, you know, we all know that it takes a lot more time and money to convert a new customer than to retain an existing one. So it's absolutely crucial that, again, you go back to this idea of compassion. Do I just want to pretend that, you know, oh, you know, oh, I've heard this in the past. Oh, we've got a great product and customers are happy. Why do I bother? No, compassion, right? Just think, no. This person needs to know that you care. And even if that just means speaking on the phone and say, how is everything going? You know, you're happy. Do you need me to go and have a look? Or, you know, it's just this idea that, you know, people won't buy product. They actually buy you. They buy the connection with you. They buy the relationship with you. And again, you know, we're sort of wrapping up back to where we started. It's a human to a human. And yes, of course, you've got an amazing product or a solution or a technology, whatever. but never ever forget that in front of you is a human person with emotions, and you are a human person. And so if you really get that, then yeah, I think you start a really good and successful marketing journey.
Well, I love that. Make your marketing underpinned by compassion. It's beautiful. I think it's a terrific place to end on that thought. So thank you so much, Audrey, for joining us today.
You're most welcome.
It's been very interesting and informative. For those of you listening, I hope you've learned some points from a seasoned marketing professional. We're The Online Co. If you need any marketing help, please feel free to reach out to us. You can just type The Online Co. into Google and click on the button that says book a quick chat, and we'd love to help you with your marketing. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.